We're talking about parenting on purpose. We've been looking to God's word for hope and help in this whole area of raising godly kids and becoming biblically desperate parents in the process of this parenting journey of grace. I want to finish the series by giving you a biblical approach to discipline and correction, and I'll go ahead and cue you that it's going to be heavier, leaning more towards younger kids. I don't want this series to go on and on and on and on, and probably the kids don't, and many of you don't. But as you speak on parenting, it's very difficult because you've got people at all stages. So I'll acknowledge this is going to be heavier towards the younger kids. There's a lot more I could say about older kids, but the series must come to a conclusion. There's a lot of good resources that we put out there for teens and older kids, and take advantage of that. I want to recommend on the book resource table for these two messages I'm going to do today and next Sunday, I think two of the best books that are out there is Withhold Not Correction by Bruce Ray and Spanking, A Loving Discipline by Roy Lesson. Very simple, very biblical, very practical, both these books in guiding us as to what does God call us to do and how would you do it? What would it look like? How we do it in a loving and godly way. Both those resources are on the table. Just a few months ago, I received an email from a friend who was struggling with this whole issue of whether or not to spank their children. And they also included a photo of what they finally decided was a better alternative to spanking. I'll read you what they said to me in the email. Much has been said about tough love for misbehaving children. Most of America's population thinks it's very improper to spank children. So we've tried other methods to control our kids when they have one of those moments. One that we found to be very effective is for me to just take the child for a car ride and talk. Almost always, they calm down and stop misbehaving after our little car ride together. Then he says, I've included a photo below of one of my sessions with our son in case you'd like to use this technique. It's very effective. And I know that we're all looking for discipline that works. So I thought I'd show it to you this morning as well. Here's what he showed me. And that tends to settle the kid right down after that little car ride and talk. Now, I really don't want any emails on this one because this is a joke. And my friend didn't really do this. The car isn't really moving. No doubt they know some trooper that has that little machine and they set that at 99 and they put their kid on the hood. I thought it was funny. But I don't want you to do that. I'm not advocating that. As we wrap up this series, I want to take us back to God's original and biblical plan. Back before there were cars you could strap your son to the hood of. And I want to start off by showing you some of the contrast between what you hear today from parents and what the Bible says. And it's going to be stark. It's going to be startling. I hope it's going to be shocking to some of you. The contrast between what you hear parents say today and people say today and what you see God's Word saying. You hear parents say, I don't spank my child because I love him too much. Besides, that would be cruel. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You hear parents say, I would never spank my child because it might hurt him. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30 says, blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes the inner depths of the heart. You hear parents say, I think it's important that a child learns to do his own thing. Restraints can discourage his creativity and ability to make decisions. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame. You hear parents say, spanking a child is not that important. There are so many more effective and kinder ways to discipline a child, Brad. But Proverbs 23:13-14 says, don't fail to correct your children. They won't die if you spank them. Now, I think it's very interesting that God says that. Why? Because they would lead us to believe they're going to die. They sound like they're going to die. God knows. God anticipates that. Just like Paul in the book of Romans anticipating, oh, you might say, but I say. God's doing it here. They won't die if you spank. Now, again, we're talking about a biblical, loving, measured, controlled spanking, the way I'm going to describe it in these 2 weeks. Obviously, there have been children that have been injured through child abuse, perhaps even that some have died. I don't know of any children that have died from a biblical spanking. The children you read about were hit in the head or burned with irons or baseball bats or what. We are not talking about that. Please understand. Hitting and beating are in one category called child abuse. A biblical spanking is in an altogether different category that's described in Scripture. That's what we're going to talk about in these weeks. They won't die if you spank them. Notice it says physical discipline. So he's not talking about timeout. He's not talking about stickers. He's not talking about anything else. He's talking about a physical discipline, a whack on the behind. Physical discipline may well save them from death or hell, some translations say. You hear people say, well, children are basically good, Brad. It's society and adult taboos that give them problems. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and time out will drive it far from him. You know what? You can sit in time out, and your foolishness just grows. You get to sit there and think how much you hate your parents and how dumb you think they are. It says, the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You hear parents say, I'm afraid if I spank my child, he'll not like me. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your son and he'll give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. The kids that you see in the restaurants and the malls and in the playground areas that are not bringing delight to their parents are the ones not being disciplined. They're not a joy for the parents or for anyone else around them. God's word says, discipline your son, your daughter, and he'll give you peace. He'll bring delight to your soul. These verses we just read make it absolutely clear that if you fail to spank your child, you're actually putting your child at risk. But the world just keeps pummeling us with bogus information from so-called experts. It's always experts. Experts have shown. Experts, experts. I want to get a room full of those experts and say, how old are you? Do you have any children? Hello? Where did you get this information? What makes you think this? It's so easy. Everyone's called an expert. It's just this generic, vague group of people floating around somewhere out there. Experts that just won't let up on this one. You see it all the time. And after a while, parents start to believe it. Oh, I guess it is bad to spank my children. I need to get with the times. Folks, there's going to be a lot of areas that we will be out of step with the culture if you're going to go by God's word. I mean, we just had the opportunity to vote on amendments in 11 different states regarding the homosexual marriage. We are out of step with the times in Kentucky by the majority of the Kentuckians voting no. Well, we voted yes. You got that right. Yes, we want to preserve marriage as one man and one woman. We're out of step with the times. Turn on the TV. That is not what you're seeing in all the sitcoms, all the movies, all the shows. They are working overtime to convince us that we're out of step. And many of my neighbors have started to say it finally. Well, it's just a generic thing. They can't help it. It's not their fault. God made them this way. They deserve the rights of every American. On and on and on and on and on. I'm not advocating taking their rights away from them. But we shouldn't give them special rights apart from God's word. So we're going to be out of step on that. We're going to be out of step on biblical counseling versus psychology and psychiatry. We're going to be out of step saying it's a soul issue, it's a heart issue, it's not a chemical imbalance. So let's go ahead and be out of step on child rearing. Why not? We're going to be in trouble in so many areas. If I get thrown in jail, let's just do it for the whole kit and caboodle, not just one thing. Because we want to not pick and choose. We want to say, what does God's word say on every area? And I could go on. I could just list many more areas that the culture more and more is going to be wide of the mark, wide of what Scripture says. So listen, go ahead and get ready. If it bothers you to ever be different or peculiar or not right in line with the mainstream, you're not going to do well as a Christian in the next 25 years. You just won't. These are not the 50s and the 60s where most parents on the street, it didn't matter whether they went to church or not, they pretty much all expected the same thing of their kids. Didn't want them cussing, didn't want them having sex, wouldn't take them in and house them in their house if they were mad at you. But that's over today. It's over. If you're not a Christian, and I would add, if you're not a Christian that still wants to go by the Bible, then we're not going to think the same way at all. You're going to be out of step. Our newspaper carried an article recently from Associated Press titled, Survey, Parents Making Mistakes. We know we're making mistakes. We didn't need to see that. But here's what they think we're making a big mistake on. The article went on to say, widespread parental misconception about discipline and behavior may. Now watch how many times they say may, might, can, and experts and research. Look for all those words. Whenever you see articles like this, look for those words. Discipline behavior may result in a growing number of overly aggressive, easily frustrated children, according to experts. No names are given, just experts. Hello, where are they? Who surveyed more than 1,000 parents with youngsters 6 and under. The nationwide survey released Wednesday found that 61% of the parents condone spanking as a regular form of punishment for young children, despite research indicating corporal punishment can be harmful. Now, I think a day is coming where those phrases are even going to change, and they're going to say, is harmful. At least right now, they're saying may, can be. Other countries are passing laws. Laws have been passed. In Canada, they're working hard to pass a law saying it would be illegal to spank your children. We're not there yet in America, but they're bumping up against it to cause you to doubt, to cause you to question, to cause you to say, well, that's what we're up against. And I know that's what you're reading all the time, just like I am. So you better be reading God's word more than you're reading the newspaper, or you're going to be wrong on a lot of things. If you take your cues from the newspaper and the magazines that are lying around in your pediatrician's office or the Jiffy Lube while you get your oil changed, you're just going to be wrong a lot. Popular, but wrong. You'll fit in well at work and the neighborhood cookouts, but you'll be wrong. You'll be completely wrong according to God's word. It makes me think of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Don't let anyone lead you astray with empty philosophy and high-sounding nonsense." Oh, that sums it up. There is a bunch of high-sounding nonsense in our culture on all kinds of issues that come from human thinking and from the evil powers of this world and not from Christ. High-sounding nonsense, empty philosophy, human thinking. What's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding or the understanding of experts. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him. Folks, we've got to acknowledge Him in this way also. You can't pick and choose. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll do what? Direct your path. Make your path straight. You got to decide this morning, how are you going to respond to these verses I just showed you from Proverbs? Do they apply today or not? You going to cut them out of your Bible like Thomas Jefferson did with the verses that he didn't like? You think God's unreasonable, cruel, harsh, sadistic? Let me put it this way. Do you think you're a better parent than God is? I hope that hurt. Because that's really what we're saying when we're saying, oh God, what you just said, that's harsh, that's cruel, that's mean. I've got a better idea than that. Do you think psychologists and psychiatrists know more than God? Do they have some insight? Have they come upon something that God didn't know when he wrote this and God's now embarrassed, and if he could have a revised edition, he wishes that he could. He wishes he could change some of this. I don't think God feels that way at all. God's word tells us that it stands. This, the grass withers, the flower fades, and human thinking just comes and goes and blows like the wind. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Forever. So here's what it really boils down to. Ultimately, the question becomes, are you going to believe and take your parenting advice from Dr. So-and-so and the experts, or are you going to go with God's word? And more, the world is going to be diametrically opposed to God. Dr. So-and-so and the God of the Bible are going to have less and less in common. So you're going to have to decide who you're going to believe. And listen, we would all agree, and God would clearly tell us, he hates child abuse. We're not talking about child abuse this morning. There's no doubt about that. But we're talking about biblical forms of discipline properly carried out that do not equal child abuse. So in the next 2 weeks, I want to give you three steps that you need to keep in mind if you're going to bring your children up in the discipline of the Lord. I want to give you the first step today. Here's step number one. Parents, you got to get rid of any baggage or wrong ideas about biblical discipline. You're going to have to get rid of the baggage. Most of you, if you went through college, if you took some college courses, if you're reading magazines, if you're watching TV, if you're watching documentaries or talk shows, if you're alive, if you have a pulse, then you have picked up baggage and wrong ideas about this area of child discipline. And here's what grieves me. Even grandparents that did it the right way when they raised you now harass parents, young parents today, who are wanting to do the same thing. And say, oh, don't do that. Oh, they don't know what they're doing. Oh, don't do that. Don't do it. And bless their hearts, the grandparents have picked up more cultural cues than biblical. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very, very hard. You're going to have to get rid of any baggage and wrong ideas about biblical discipline. You need to start reading more of the Bible and less of what's lying around in your pediatrician's office. Stop thinking. Here's one thing. Here's some baggage that you need to shed. First, stop thinking that just correction or just talking alone can get the job done with your kids. We should look at God as our model father, and He uses both. So should we. He uses both correction and admonition. Watch it through Scripture. Discipline and instruction, both. And He's our model, so we should have both of those in place. So there's two ditches to fall into. There's some parents, there's not as many of these left, but there's some parents that think, just spank them. If you'll spank them often, spank them well, beat the devil and the foolishness out of them, you'll raise godly kids. Spanking is their only tool. Spanking summarizes their parenting approach. Spank them even if you don't think they need it and you haven't done it in a while. Probably there's something you've missed. Just spank them. That's extreme, and that's out of balance, and that's not what the Bible teaches. But then over here in this ditch, there are some parents today that are trying desperately to get through this whole parenting process without ever spanking. And they're talking their kids to death. Just talk, 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 talk. It's so interesting to me, those same parents or grandparents that say that child doesn't understand enough to be spanked. Oh, he doesn't understand, you can't spank him. They're talking to them like they understand. If you don't think they understand, shut up. If they can't understand a spanking, they can't understand this big tirade that you're giving them of words, just an avalanche of words. Guess what? They understand. I'm not talking about infants right out of the womb, spank, you know, for crying. I'm talking about once they're old enough to disobey a clear command that they understand and they are able to do and they don't do it, you can start spanking on their fat little arm, on their fat little leg. They do understand. God's word tells us it's a balance of both discipline and instruction, both. The Bible prescribes a biblical balance. If you remember, early in our series, we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up," and here's the two-pronged approach, here's the balance, "in the training or discipline or paideia," that's the giving them rules and boundaries and correction, "in the training and admonition of the Lord," both. If you remember the chart, if you guys would show it up there, as you do this, as you're bringing them up in those early years, the training and discipline is going to be high. You're going to be doing that a lot. You should be doing that a lot. From 0 to 6 years old, you ought to be correcting and bringing physical discipline and punishment and spanking into their life a lot so that they'll get in their minds this first-time obedience. I must obey the words of my parents so that they'll obey God, teachers, policemen, authorities. And then as they begin to get older, that should be reduced dramatically as you begin to talk more and admonish and instruct and try to reach their heart and reason with them. But we've got parents doing it backwards over here trying to reason with an 18-month-old. God's word gives us this approach of discipline and admonition, both in a balance that should be heavier on the discipline in the early years and be reduced as they get older. Our discipline needs to include, and our approach needs to include both training or spanking and admonition. Otherwise, you're going to be lopsided. Ted Tripp says, quote, "If you focus exclusively on either the rod or communication, admonition, you will be like a ship with all the cargo loaded on one side. You won't sail very well. Admonition and spanking are not standalone methods. They're not either or. They were designed by God to work together. They're a team. Both need to be in your parenting toolbox." Amen. Both. He gave us both. You don't get to pick and say, "Well, I'm not comfortable with spanking, but I'll do the admonition. I'll go for the heart, Brad." Listen, if you don't spank them and get their attention, you can't go for the heart because they don't ever listen to you. They will not stand still long enough to even listen to you or give a rip about what you're saying because they just have blown you off for 6 years. Why should I listen to you now? And that's what's happening to parents. They don't want to do the hard thing of spanking. It breaks their heart to do it. And then they want to talk to them later and they wonder why they can't connect with them. And they won't listen. You don't have their respect. You have earned no respect. You are no authority in their life. They have no reason to respond to you. Parents, I plead with you, those of you in this room with young children, now is the time. Now is the time to discipline, to train, to work with them so that they will listen to you. Now, as you're checking for ungodly, worldly baggage, let me point out another area you need to get rid of. Don't fall into the trap of thinking that any kind of failure in the past is justification for throwing the baby out with the bathwater now. In other words, some parents refuse to discipline their children because they've seen someone who used it in an unbiblical, harsh way. Or perhaps it happened to them that way. Their parents did it that way. You might be sitting here this morning and you're in that camp. You're still stinging from, quote, biblical discipline that was administered in your life, but not done in a godly, loving way. The total package wasn't there. And so you've said, I'm not ever going to do that to my kids. And you've reacted and swung way over here. Listen, I'm not asking you this morning to do what your parents did to you or to do what you saw some other family do. I'm calling you to do what God's Word says. And if what your parents did and what you've seen another family do was not measured, loving, controlled, and in the context of building a relationship with their kids, by no means repeat what you saw done or what was done to you. Hear me on that. We're not here to have a tug of war about preferences and experience. We're going to God's Word. We're anchored to God's Word. Certainly, everything in God's Word can be abused. When we teach on headship here at Grace Fellowship, that men should be the head of their home, has anyone ever seen a man who was a tyrant or a dictator and abused that role? Absolutely. Are we going to throw it out and say no more headship? It's just equality. We're all the egalitarian approach. We're all, because men might abuse that, let's not teach that anymore. Nope. We teach the Bible and we call men to do what God says do, to be servant leaders, and we just keep saying it. With biblical discipline, we call you to God's Word and we keep saying do it, but do it the way God tells us to do it, in the loving context of measured and controlled. Before you throw the baby out with the bathwater, you need to ask, why did the discipline you received go so poorly? Or why did that discipline you watched someone do go so poorly? Why have you drawn this conclusion? What was wrong? What was missing? What other principles were neglected in this process? See, so many times there's something missing. There's something missing, or there's something there that doesn't need to be in the mix that is causing the discipline to not be effective, to not be biblical, to not go well. I want to point a few out. Three things that many times are the culprit in why it's not going well. You say, well, there's a family that spanked, or my parents spanked, and that didn't go well. Here's three culprits. Number one, it's not biblical if you're disciplining in selfish or uncontrolled anger. It's not biblical if you're disciplining in selfish or uncontrolled sinful anger. We've touched on this already. James chapter 1, verse 20 says, the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. It's not going to get the job done. You're not going to see the fruit. The child's not going to respond well. Anger, sinful, selfish, uncontrolled anger, doesn't get the job done. But many times, especially men, we think, I'm really going to get their attention now. I'm going to get mad. I've waited now. This is how I'll get it done. I'm going to get mad. And you see bosses do that. You see coaches do that. You know, this afternoon and yesterday afternoon, coaches all over the nation were grabbing teams and their players during halftime, and their goal was to get those players mad. If they get angry enough, they can really get it done. And we carry that over into parenting, and we think, this will get it done. Now I'm mad. Okay, now I'm mad. And sadly, that's when we also, not we, not me, that's when many times also parents think, I'm mad and I'm going to spank. And that's the last thing you need to do. You should not be disciplining in selfish, uncontrolled anger. Out-of-control parents, listen to me, out-of-control parents will never produce self-controlled, godly kids. Mark it down. Out-of-control parents will never produce self-controlled, godly kids. They're seeing you more than they're seeing what's just happening or hearing what you're saying. A spanking should never be your opportunity to vent anger because you've lost it now. And a biblical spanking should be measured and controlled. Let me point out another problem why sometimes it's not effective, the discipline that's being given. It's not biblical if you're always disciplining your children and never praising them or building a relationship with them. See, this thing, it's a total package. You can't pick and say, well, I like that discipline stuff, and I'm going to get all over that, and I'm going to do that. I'm not going to miss any opportunity to correct. And no news is good news. If they're doing right, good. They ought to do right. We had a talk. We had a family time. Told them what the expectations were. But I'll tell them every time they do it wrong. Hup! Right there. Hup! Spanking time. Hup! Spank! Get over here. Drop your drawers. Hup! Spank! Spank! Hup! My word, who wants to live in a place like that? And does that remind you at all of the way that God parents us? I think not. The discipline many times is ineffective and unbiblical because all you're doing is disciplining and correcting and no praise, no building a relationship with the child. Parents, do not let your relationship, those of you that have failed in this area, and I suspect there are many who have failed in this area, don't get all fired up and go out of here and say, of everything from the parenting series, we're going to get on that one now. I would actually tell you, if you don't get on the other things I've talked about, don't get on this one. Get all over everything else I've talked about before you get on this one. This piece will not be effective and not be biblical and not be godly and not produce the results you want if you don't have the other stuff in place. Don't let your relationship with your children deteriorate to the point that it's nothing more than dictating regulations and announcing punishments. Dictating regulations and announcing punishments. Too often, if we're not careful, the relationship can distill down to good morning, good afternoon, how was your day, and dictating regulations and announcing punishments. There's no talking. There's no hugging. There's no laughing. There's no listening. There's no unhurried times of just hanging out with each other and you just listening to the child talk about whatever's on their heart, whatever's on their mind, whatever they're into now. Whether it's phone books or matchsticks or toothpick buildings or whatever, that you're never laying on the floor with a child, getting down there and saying, let me see the Lego set. Oh, that's cool. The door with the string. How did you do that? And you put the can in there? Why'd you put the can in there? If you're not having times like this, please don't administer biblical discipline and step in to spank, especially you dads. Don't let it be, that's what the dad does. I come home, the garage door goes up, my wife meets me at the door and says, spank them, all of them. Please don't do that. And ladies, listen to me. There's nothing in the Bible that says dads are supposed to do all the spanking. Don't leave it till dad gets home. Don't put that on us. If they need a spanking, do it. Do it. You can do this. You can do it. And we'll share this together. And as things happen throughout the weekend, and dad, you're there and you see it, you do it. Don't leave it for the wife because you're so used to her doing it throughout the week. Well, honey, need some spankings in here. You know, you just keep watching the game. If something needs to be addressed, you address it as a team. There must be a relationship with your kids of unhurried times with them, that they know you, that you know them, that you love them and you're connecting with them. Without that loving context, biblical discipline does not produce the desired result. The desired results. It's the difference between taking your prescribed cough medicine full strength or watering it down to a third water or three-fourths water and a fourth medicine and then going around complaining and saying you're not getting any better. That is what many people do with biblical discipline. It's been so watered down by what's missing. And then they say it doesn't work. It doesn't work. They're not doing everything God says to do. Finally, it's not biblical discipline if there's never any teaching and it's all just correcting. Your biblical discipline should have a strong dose of put on. That's what God shows us in Colossians chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 4, in Romans 12. In all the epistles as Paul wrote, Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, he'd give us instruction. And then chapter 4, 5, and 6, he starts saying, now here's the duty. Here's what you need to put on. Here's how it looks. Don't do this and do this. And parents, too often we want to jump to the don't do and do, and we haven't given instruction. Help your kids with the put on. There should be a strong dose of what should they be doing. Don't just tell them what they did wrong and spank them for it. Teach them the put on. Train them in righteousness. Walk them back through. What would that look like? What should you have done? And role play it right then and practice with them. Say, all right, you go back to the computer. You be sitting there. I come around the corner. I say, hey, go ahead and come do your table jobs for supper. And you turn and you say, yes, Dad. In our house, we say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. But if that's too Southern for you, you can just say, yes, Dad, yes. Somehow they acknowledge that you exist and you spoke. And then they do it. And then we do it two or three times. We practice. Train them in righteousness. Don't just tell them what they did wrong and spank them for it. Show them what it looks like and walk them through it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7 says, "These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall spank them diligently." Is that what it says? Doesn't. It says, "You shall teach them diligently." Teaching has to be in place. Make sure you've given clear expectations and explanations, and there's a foundation of love and teaching and relationship with your kids. "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and daughters when you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up." So you need to be celebrating with them when they get it right as much as you are correcting or spanking or disciplining when they do it wrong. As much or if not more. Celebrate with them. There are times in our home I'm sure we could do better, but we try to look for those times to celebrate. It's very often that in our morning time, Vicky will tell me something, or there's something that I know, we'll say, "This morning we want to recognize somebody. This morning we want to recognize Garrett Bigney." I tell you what, when you do this with your kids, they just light up. He just lights up. He doesn't know where we're going, but he knows this is good. This is good. Whatever's about to happen, I think I'm going to like this. And Vicky comes in and says, "I want you to know." And all the kids are sitting there. I'm sitting there. "Yesterday, we were doing the big summer, winter switchover, changeover. And Garrett stood in the garage with me and tried on 15 pairs of pants, trying to figure out which ones should we bring out and keep, which ones need to be given away, which ones. And didn't complain and didn't whine. Yay, Garrett." And we all clap. Now, that may sound juvenile or silly to you, but tell you what, I don't know of anybody in the world, adults or children, they would say, "I'm getting too much praise. I'm getting too much encouragement. I'm tired of it. I'm just saturated with it. Let it go." We don't praise our kids enough. And think about it with your boss and in your husband-wife relationship. We got to do this. And he just lights up. And you're affirming the very thing you want. Instead of just spanking when they twist and turn and won't help you and they keep complaining, praise them when they get it right. Many times there's days where I or Vicky will say, "And we want to recognize Harrison Bigney yesterday when it was raining and Mommy came back from the grocery store in the van without being asked. Point out the things you've actually been trying to get them to do and state exactly what they did. It was initiative. It was responsibility. It was thinking of others more than themselves. State it that way. Not just, that was really good that you got the groceries out for. State what it is so that they'll know, oh, that's what we're shooting for and you did it." And he took the initiative, he opened the front door, and he ran out, and he said, "I'll get that stuff for you." Let's hear it for Harrison Bigney, taking the initiative, being responsible, being a servant, helping his mother, treating women special. Those are all the things we're teaching, and he did it. Celebrate. Praise. Little Sarah, just a week or so ago, we were eating lunch with a family in our church that asked us out for lunch. We don't know them that well. She doesn't know them that well. And as we're eating, of course, people like little children to sit in their lap and talk to them. But many times that's hard for little children. We've been teaching Sarah, she's 4, she just turned 5, to go to people. What can a 5-year-old do she's not tithing to our church, she's not serving in the nursery, she's in the nursery, she's not serving. What can they do? As a little child, we've taught our little kids, the blessing you can give other people is to look at them, smile, and sit in their laps and talk to them. We just tell them all the time, you have no idea how much adults love little children to do that with them. Because what I'm hearing so often from grandparents now, saying, my grandkids won't even give me the time of day. They won't even sit in my lap. They won't come to me. That has to be taught. Otherwise, little kids are just running around like selfish little creatures that, I don't want to sit in your lap. Don't know you. Bye. You know? I mean, why should she? You teach that. And so she said, Sarah, would you sit in my lap? And so one of those moments, you're like, oh, please do it. And she did. And then even later, Sarah said, well, and we were at a rally in the stadium, same way, with the same family, and she was in her lap. And when we got home, Sarah said, I won't name her name, Mrs., let's call her Williams. Mrs. Williams wanted me to sit in her lap, and I needed to use the bathroom really bad. But I sat in her lap anyway because I knew that would make her feel special, and I waited. Then I said, I need to use the bathroom so that she wouldn't think I just didn't want to sit in her lap. Hello, can they understand things? Can they figure things out? That's pretty sharp. And I don't think my child is just sharp off the chart. Your 4 or 5-year-old is just as sharp. But it must be taught. And then you praise. We're like, oh, Sarah, shish, boom, bah, yay, yay, Sarah. Thank you. That's wonderful, Sarah. That's what we're looking for. Let me point out some other baggage that you need to shed if you're going to do biblical discipline. Don't say that biblical discipline or spanking doesn't work just because you don't get immediate results. Don't say spanking doesn't work. I am alarmed and grieved by how many times Christians I respect, men and women, say to me, well, spanking doesn't work with my child. Spanking doesn't work for our grandson, granddaughter. Spanking doesn't work. Spanking doesn't work. Spanking. I think to myself, I haven't done it yet, but it may happen. I want to say, yeah? What else in the Bible do you think doesn't work? What else are you going to take out? I want to say, oh, how about Romans 12? Overcome evil with good. I've been doing that for a while in some situations. We got our son doing that with a neighbor, taking him a Coke. It didn't go well. Overcome evil with good. They're still not buddies. That doesn't work. Romans 12, overcome evil with good. Doesn't work. Not going to do that. Spanking doesn't work. Overcome evil with good doesn't work. Oh, this meek shall inherit the earth. I was meek all weekend. I don't own the earth. That doesn't work either. First shall be last. Last shall be first. I was last all weekend. I was last all week at work. I've been passed over 100 times. That doesn't work. Just start tearing pages out. What do you mean by doesn't work? You know what I think they mean? That was hard. That was hard. That was a knockdown, drag out. That was a rough weekend, and we ain't doing that again because I'm exhausted already. It's easier to let it go. That's what they mean. I have to say, let God be true and every man a liar. I got to go with God's word. And too often, our concept of work is gets results fast, and I don't have to do that again. Gets results fast. I spanked. We had several spanking sessions over the weekend, and golly gee, he did the same thing Monday morning. Hello? Yes, that will happen. Out of faith, you keep going forward, and you will see results in time. The results are not immediate, folks. This is long term. This is like taking vitamins. You don't see results immediately, but you do what God's word calls us to do. Parenting is a marathon, not a sprint. Biblical discipline is a marathon, not a sprint. Many times parents want to pick up the spanking rod for a weekend or a night and think, whew, hope I never have to do that again. That's not going to happen that way at all. So basically, we're really running into not a failure on God's part or a failure on God's word. It's our failure. We're guilty of being faint-hearted. We're faint-hearted. We give up. We're too short-sighted. We don't hang in there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36 says, for you have need of what? Endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After you've done the will of God and you have trained and you have spanked and you got up out of your chair when you didn't feel like doing it, and one more time you lovingly, calmly, patiently gave a biblical spanking that took 15 minutes of your time or a half hour of your time, you're going to see the fruit of God's promise in time, not immediately. You need endurance. Dan Allender writes, quote, why aren't we enjoying the success that we'd expect? It's because setting limits and enforcing consequences is really inconvenient. Listen to this. Very funny how he describes this. If we state clear consequences, then when the line is crossed, we have to drop whatever we're doing. We have to make the arrest, read the little criminal her rights, transport her to jail, give her time to plead her case. Once judgment is passed, we must apply the consequences and then bear the unpleasant aftermath. Yes, and picture, some of you have one, two. What if you had five? Just put on your policeman's cap and just get ready to be busy all day. And it's not just the shrill complaining of the little lawbreaker. There will always be plenty of others. The offender's siblings, sometimes the grandparents, the other parent, neighbors, friends, people at church who will question our methodology. Since this is so much bother, we'd much rather just ignore the child's crime. Choosing the course of strength cost us way too much time and trouble. That's it. He nails it. That is it. It cost you way too much time and trouble, so you just turn a blind eye to it and say, it's not worth it. Those people that you see with their kids that everyone in the area is thinking, do something. That mother or that father is thinking, the reason I'm pretending I don't see that is I don't want to get into what's about to happen. If I start, this is going to be a knockdown, drag out. This is not going to go well, so I just pretend it's not happening. Which, by the way, I want to insert here. The place to be training and disciplining is at home. That's the place to fire in on it so that you're not having to do this all the time in Meijer or in Walmart or in a restaurant. Home, which, hello, there's a concept. You got to be home. You got to be home. Our culture has put us in the fast lane. Whew. And whenever home, you're trying to discipline your kids in the van, in the car, on the soccer field, basketball, on the way here, on the way there, as you all wolf down fast food from a little white bag. Home. Home. Home? Remember what that looked like? Remember what eating a meal together looked like? Remember what playing a board game looked like? And you say, you just can't do that today. Listen, I know I'm going to offend some people again. If you would cut out some of the stuff our culture says you must do, you could eat a meal together, you could play a board game, you could be in the home. You don't have to do five sports. Pick one. Let there be a chunk of the year that we're not playing sports. Which one do you like the best, son? You're not going to be Bo that does them all. Which one do you want to be good at? But this, all year long, we're just shuttling, just rocketing from one place to the next. You cannot train kids on the fly. You cannot raise godly kids on the fly. We've got to slow down. And it's up to us, parents, and you're going to have to be strong enough and courageous enough and believe God's word enough to not be terrified that your children won't make it if they don't know how to ride horses, do gymnastics, play every kind of ball in the universe. They'll make it. They'll make it. I mean, for most of us men, apart from the married singles football game each year, what does it matter whether you can punt or kick or catch? Those of you that are no good at it, you just don't show up, and so we don't know how bad you are. It really doesn't factor in that much. And how many of our kids are going on to play pro ball, and that's how they're going to earn their living? Folks, slow down. Slow down. You don't have to do all this that our world tells us you've got to do. We give up too soon. Another reason that many times it's not effective is we're inconsistent. We're inconsistent, which plays into that we're too busy. So sometimes we got time to do it, sometimes we think we don't, and so it's just hit and miss. It will not be effective, hit and miss, with your kids just kind of, your kids would be happy to play Russian roulette. They'll play that game. Let's take a chance, spin it. Maybe dad will, maybe he won't. Two out of three times he doesn't. It must be consistent. When you do this, these are the consequences every time. Must be consistent. We're on again, off again. James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You can't be double-minded. If you two are disagreed on something, husband and wife, spend some time alone hammering it out and get on the same page so that you're not double-minded. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this? And you can be unified in your approach with the kids. Spanking only when it's convenient, only when you're in the mood, only when you're hopping mad will never accomplish God's purposes. Ted Tripp says, failure to be consistent is capricious. Inconsistency means that correction revolves around your convenience rather than around objective biblical principles. While they're still young, you must teach your children that obedience is a necessity, not one of many options. If you accept challenge, delay, or excuses, you're not training in submission. You're rather training your children how to manipulate authorities and live on the ragged edge of disobedience. You teach them to toss you an occasional bone of obedience to keep you at bay. Ooh, ooh, that's so much what I see, folks. Even parents that are willing to say we do discipline, they just keep their kids on the ragged edge of disobedience, and their kids just toss them occasional bone of obedience to keep them at bay. And you're teaching them to manipulate. Finally, one other reason that it's not effective is using improper methods. Parents are randomly smacking at their kids or swatting diapered. Listen, here's what I see all the time. Swatting fully diapered Oshbagosh corduroy bottoms. Get real. I mean, it needs to hurt. Hello, they need to feel it. The child's just like, I don't know, I feel some wind back there, but I don't know what's happened. Did I just pass gas? I mean, just mom's back there going after it, sort of, just kind of half-heartedly, so that she can say, oh, we spank, and it does. That's the other thing I want to say. Show me your spanking. When you say, doesn't work with our son, let me give him one and see if it would work. You take the Oshkosh-Bagosh corduroy things off. You untape. I mean, we were untaping diapers so often the tape doesn't work. Because you've untaped it, we've dropped the little diaper, and we're spanking on the little fat buttocks. That's where they feel it. Hello. They don't feel it through all that other stuff. So don't say it doesn't work if you're not giving a biblical spanking. Parents are just swatting, and there's no heart change. You've just aggravated them. It's like a mosquito on an elephant, you know. And they just think, there she is again. I don't know what she's doing. She's so out of control. I don't have to listen to her. When you're finished, they should know they've been spanked.
and they should know they're loved. When you're finished with a biblical spanking, they should know they've been spanked, and they should know that they're loved. What I'm talking about is going to take you 5, 10, 15, sometimes 30 minutes. When I talk about a spanking, I'm talking about slowly, lovingly, prayerfully, thoughtfully proceeding with the spanking and using something very flexible. I want to encourage you not to use your hand. I know that's easy and that's fast because my hand is connected to my arm every day, so is yours. But that also slows us down. That puts a step in our way as parents to make sure you're not just slinging your hand out. Let there be something that you use and some place you go to give a spanking. Ours was in the laundry room. You got to walk all the way down there. It's colder down there. That gives you time to cool off as you're heading down there. And the spanking instrument was down there. And then you give it privately so the whole home doesn't, it's not a spectator event. With cheer, you know, certain children cheering and others saying, oh, I'm so sorry for him. And others are like, get him, yeah. I mean, depending on the child that's down there and there's a heat and air duct system in our home, they're going to hear. Some child, you know, not much. Others just wailing. It's like the wailing wall down there. We're in Jerusalem. But it's downstairs. Make it flexible. You see this? This is not a hard, sharp plastic ruler. This is flexible. There's a lot of bend on this. This is not going to scar. This is not going to leave a permanent mark. You don't have to do this, but I put some on the resource table because many times parents are asking us. I'm serious. I try to help all I can, really. Unless the smaller children have already stolen all these off the table. Because parents are asking us, Brad, what should we use? You know, because many times the wooden spoon that my mother used, that's not flexible. Let it be flexible and let it be on. Now, obviously, this is not going to get it through Oshpagosh and diapers, right? But on a bare bottom or on the fat arm, this stings. You want to sting. You want them to know that you were there. A biblical spanking is careful, timely, measured, and controlled use of physical punishment to underscore the importance of obeying God, so that you can rescue your child from continuing in his foolishness. I put as an insert, I know there's no way I can get through everything, so you've got lots of inserts. One of the inserts I put in there is steps to giving a biblical spanking. I do not have time today to walk through them, but please read it. Steps for giving a biblical spanking I put in your bulletin this morning. Quickly, I know we're over, but I don't know when we're going to do this again, so I want to answer some of the questions that many times are asked to Vicky and myself and others. When are they old enough to be spanked? When they're old enough to disobey and they're old enough to understand a clear command and they blatantly disobey, you spank. Spank. Those are the instances that you want to spank. And so listen, you should be spanking well before they're able to talk full sentences. Don't wait till then. You want to fire in on this as early as possible, and it'll bear the most fruit. The longer you delay, the harder it's going to be to establish this principle. Let me give you some instances of when opportunities. When they're laying on the bed or the changing table as an 18-month-old or whatever, and you're trying to change their diaper, and they're twisting and turning, and they will not lay. They understand. You hold their legs and say, be still. No twisting and turning. And they do it again. You spank them. They can lay there and have their diaper changed. When you're trying to dress them and they will not let you put their leg in the leg of the pants, or they will not, here's what I hear all the time. Well, my child's barefooted today even though there's snow outside because they won't wear their shoes. She's so funny, won't wear shoes. Hello, whoom, my kid will wear shoes. On the bottom, then you put the shoes on. You say, sit down, daddy's putting your shoes on. And they're kicking their feet. You stand them up, you give a biblical spanking. You say, now we're going to try it again. Daddy's going to put your shoes on your feet. And you sit down and dressing them, changing their diaper. Here's an incident with Sarah Grace, our youngest one, Sarah Grace. When we would get in the van, every time we got in the van, she just decided, she was 18 months old, maybe 2 years old, strapped in her car seat, which I know that's hard. I wouldn't want to be strapped like that, but hello, we live in America. That's how it is. She would scream all the way wherever we're going. Ah! Ah! Her diaper is not messy. She doesn't have diaper rash. She's not in pain. Sorry about that. She just doesn't like being in this car seat. And so now the whole family is in misery wherever we go. It's like, Sarah, no, no, you can't yell. Sarah, no. Finally, what did it is Vicky, all the way with the Barnetts, all the way to the Air Force Museum to Dayton and back, she screamed. This child screamed. We said, all right, we need to address this. I said, every time, put the spanking paddle in the van, stuck in the little elastic thing behind the seat, and every time she does that, let's spank her. If we have to stop, We spanked her three times. Three times. For those of you that say, I'd be spanking all the time. No, you won't. Not a good one. And we would just stop and say, I'd say, Sarah, no. I'd give her warning as I strapped her in. I said, no. No, don't do that. Don't do that as we get going. We get going. Take the spanking paddle. Go back. Say, Sarah, no. Spank, spank, spank on the leg, arm. Three times. Now we can travel. See, I hear these parents say, oh, we can't travel to Georgia. We can't go anywhere. Oh, my kids just scream the whole time. We can drive all the way to Georgia, 12 hours. Sarah is strapped in the car seat all the way to Georgia. You know, just we say, look for deer. You know, look for deer. You know, look for antelope if you want to. Well, look for something out the window. And she just does. Not because she's an angel, but because she was trained. She's thinking, I don't want to be spanked, so I might as well look for deer, antelope, leopards, whatever, because I'm not getting out of this car seat. We don't have to stop every hour and get her out. No, we drive. We go. Now, when someone needs to pee-pee, we do that. But I'm talking about our whole thing isn't just changed because of Sarah, because Sarah doesn't like her car seat, or Sarah doesn't like shoes, or Sarah doesn't like, just fill in the blank. Folks, you can train your kids, and those are your opportunities right there to help them realize the world doesn't revolve around you. You must think of others, and you must obey. What if I'm too mad to spank my children? Then don't. Cool off. Send them to their room. Tell them to think about what they've done, and you get your heart right before God, and think if there's any way that you need to repent and ask forgiveness before you give the spanking, and then go. What if we're not at home? If you're not at home, don't do it. Not in our day-to-day. If you're not at home, and listen, if you're at home, like I hope that you are, 90% of this training should take place in the home, and you won't have to be doing it out. In the home is the place to do it consistently. What if it's too late? You say, what if it's too late? My child's 8 or 10 or 12, or we should have heard this 10 years ago. It's not too late. It's not too late. Now, most of the spanking should be finished, I think, by age 6, 7, 8. Now, there's some exceptions. But it's not too late to start doing what God says. But don't just fire over to the table, grab one of these flexible rulers, and head home. You go home and you teach first. And you say, Mommy and Daddy have been wrong. We've sinned against God the way we've let things go in our home, and we want to ask for your forgiveness. Would you please forgive us out of laziness or ignorance, or we just didn't know? We've let things go. We haven't loved you enough to keep you in the circle of obedience, which is where God's blessing is for you, and we want you to be blessed. We want you to do well in life. So things are going to be different now. And then spell out your expectations, whatever they are. When you do this, it's going to be a spanking. If you don't, and you spell it out, then you start. Not that you just arrive home and the kids think, oh, there's a new Pharaoh in Egypt, and wow, my parents heard the sermon series, and now Attila the Hun is loose in our home. You give explanation first in teaching, and you repent, and then you say, now, here's what we want to do from now on. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness, even in areas that the world would say we're totally off, we're totally wrong. God, I pray that you'd help us to be willing to take the whole counsel of God's word, but to do it just as you've prescribed it, and not just pieces of it, but to take it full strength in the total package of teaching, loving, hugging, admonishing, relating, connecting, and then, yes, spanking when necessary. God, help us to raise godly kids that can serve you and bless others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.